This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
I bet you're a little surprised to be hearing from me on a Saturday after the back issues that I've been having. I'm a little pleased to say that thanks to a great chiropractor and I think a lot of diligent work on my part, I'm doing a lot better, but still in pain over a week later. I've been in constant pain. I shouldn't say that at this point. It is now subsiding. It took about 5 visits to the chiropractor. Anyway, here's a funny little story for you. So I'm going to be out Sunday doing a little book tour visit at the Red Hill VFW, the same place we were before. But this time, it's my brother, Sergeant Joe Tyson. He wrote the book, Fortunate Sons. I don't know if I mentioned that here or not, but I interviewed him over on a Project Chaos show. He's a Vietnam veteran with the 9th Marine Expeditionary Brigade. They landed the first tanks in Vietnam. Well, this is an incredible opportunity for me because I was with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Brigade, and we brought the 1st Artillery to the Gulf War. And quite a different story in a number of different ways, but a lot of interesting ties. Well, anyway, I got to know him a little bit, interviewed him on the show. I think I'm going to do a podcast interview with him at some point. And having a great time getting to know the guy. What are the chances I built the house that he lives in back in my home building days? And I don't know if any of those guys, a couple of the guys that I worked with, I think listened to this podcast. He lives over at Dorchester Village. If you guys are listening, this is a retirement community that we built. And he bought one of the model homes there. And I didn't know him then. He bought it recently after we were long gone there. The community was sold out. But interesting little tie. Well, anyway, he reached out to me earlier in the week, and I was trying to get back to him, but it was a little bit of a delay given this back issue, man. I was not feeling well. And in the first couple of days, I was sucking it up strong and laughing, and I was hurting, but I was laughing. By about the 5th day, man, I was starting to get a little tired. By day 7 is when we know. Anyway, I was talking to him about it, and he goes, you should go to the VA for that. And I said, you really don't want to hear the story, Joe. And I'm not going to go into it again either. It's just one of those things. Trying to deal with the VA in the back is like trying to get the truth out of NPR. I kid you not. Some of you will know the little inside joke there with some of the stuff coming out recently about NPR. He said, you should go back to the VA. I said, I have no intentions of doing it. I can't tell you how many times a week I hear that. Oh, you should go back to the VA. Hey, listen, I'm very pleased with what I get from the VA, and I don't want anything else from the VA. So he says, this is the funny part. He says, you ought to file a mental health claim. Yeah, I haven't heard that joke before. He goes, here's the secret to getting 100% rated for PTSD for Marines. He says, just be yourself. So here's the funny part of that story. I said to my wife, I told her that story, and she says, well, you guys definitely march to the beat of a different drummer. I said, well, isn't that something? Thanks, sweetheart. Love you, too. March to the beat of a different drummer. My brother's telling me I'm mentally unstable. I said, that's the funny thing. If I go to the VA about my back, they're going to be like, maybe you need a mental health exam. Yeah, I probably do. I don't know that I want to go down that path. Here's a funny story. I could probably walk into the VA and get certified in 19 seconds. There's a photograph of us, Christmas 1990, it must have been. We were deployed, and we took this very macabre photo, guns to our heads. I had a knife to my wrist. It was all staged, and not really sure what kind of humor we found on that, but that was the mood of the day. So imagine if I walked into the VA with that. She's like, yeah, I think they were probably. It's not my style. They're not going to certify me, damn it. I'm going to live in my own world. Anyway, hey, at least I'm smiling. What are you going to do, right? Here it is Saturday. I'm excited to be out on the road again tomorrow. Hopefully my back holds up for that. I think I'll be all right. Get to spend some time with my brother Joe Tyson. Get to hang around with some veterans, which I enjoy doing. And we'll get back to the VFW there. So anyway, I'm excited about doing that. Excited about being out there. A couple stories. The main reason that I wanted to jump on here today, by the way, a little bit time sensitive, is this House bill that they're pushing through to provide funding for Ukraine and Israel. So let's keep the dramatics out for 1 second and just let's use starting point A. Why is this happening at all? All right. If you're going to argue that there's a critical need somewhere around the world, I don't know, why isn't there a budget or a fund for that? Now, do we want that necessarily? I think they've already exhausted all that as a big part of the problem. But either way you want to dice it, this whole thing is just sloppy management. What budget? We don't have a budget anymore. It's just a free-for-all spend. And how dare Marjorie Taylor Greene come out and suggest that the Republicans dig their heels in and stand on their principles? Boy, they crucified her for that. This is not the world we live in. If you go, I was joking about the NPR thing. You go listen to what that vile witch said. You want to find where the socialists are? The same type of people that were spitting in the face of our veterans that came home from Vietnam, I'll tell you where they're at. Remember I said this, where are they now? Now she's too young. I think she's only about 41. You look at the background on this lady. Council of Islamic Relations. Oh, I'm not making it up. Go look for yourself. Go do the research. This is what that's at the head of NPR. And it's a big joke because NPR, it's a propaganda machine. Who funds it? The tax dollars. It's like a smidgen of tax dollars. I'm not even sure exactly why, what the role of all that is. I could go on and on about this with the NPR. I did a show about it a time ago. Nobody cares. They don't even have a big audience like 12 million. I think it's mostly teachers. We got a lot of teachers around here. I live in Academia Central here outside of Philadelphia. I'm right stuck between two Temple campuses here. I'm stuck between Temple Ambler and University of Penn. Welcome to my world. I'm going to get an NPR sticker for my car. I kid you not. Oh, I'm going to blend in. Stealthy. I'm going to start talking like a Democrat, too, when I'm out in public. I'm going to freak them out. You know? You know what we need? We need to open those borders a little wider. Everybody's complaining now. I'm on it. You just wait. I got something else big coming for you. I don't even want to say it. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I got something big coming. I'm going to say it's going to be about a month, 6 weeks out. I think you'll enjoy it. Anyway, I don't want to get too far off point. You want to find out, you know, where the socialists from the Vietnam War ended up? Well, there they are at the head of NPR. The money coming from that, get back on that a second, a small amount. I want to say less than 10% is government funded. The rest is coming from big corporations, and they've basically bought up an incredible amount of media in the process. A few wealthy corporations, what's doing this? And I didn't really know what to say about it. Anyway, she gets up there, if you listen to it, and I knew where she was going with it. But I don't think she was misunderstood. That's not where I'm going with it. I think what she was trying to say, what shall I use as an example? I find these absolute truths on the abortion issue, for example, to make it very difficult to have a conversation. I say to somebody, I've had this conversation. You know, God forbid something ever happened to my wife or my daughter. We would want to make these decisions as to how to handle it amongst ourselves and probably with some extended family support and some spiritual support. I don't want the government involved in that at all, at all. And don't tell me there aren't medical reasons that you would legitimately need to or want to abort a baby. I could give you, I said this. Now, you know, it's not going to happen. We've taken measures, but, you know, I'm not going to get into details, but if my wife became pregnant and the doctor said, look, there's a 100% chance there's going to be complications, and that complication is mom's going to die if you have this baby. In the process, we would be putting my daughter in grave danger. All right. I don't like to speak in these hypotheticals, and God forbid something like that. And like I said, it's not going to happen because we are responsible people. But God forbid something happen and we face that situation. We would need to make that decision. I don't know what we would do. I feel very strongly against abortion. I do. I'm a pro-life guy, but I don't want the government involved in it. I'm not sure where that leaves us. Does there need to be regulation on it? Absolutely. Should government money be going into it? Absolutely. But my point is just to get back to this truths thing with the NPR. I've spoken to people who say, well, if you don't want the baby, give it to me. Okay. Listen, if you're going to say to a young girl who's a victim of some crime that you must carry this, and I don't think that's a fair option. And listen, I'm not saying I'm right on the doggone issue either. I've said this a million times. I heavily respect the pro-life movement. I do. I'm glad they're there. Anyway, my point is this. And when you start talking about truths, there are certain things that get a little blended. But then there's some things that really are black and white, like telling the truth. And that's what she was talking about. She said, well, we shouldn't let the truth get in the way. And there was a lot of other propaganda she sprinkled into that talk, by the way. And there's a little key message in there. She revealed something. She says, and she went on to describe it in some way as being very powerful, impactful, whatever you want to call it, their ability to get good scientific information, truthful scientific information, and share it out to a large audience, such as the spread of a pandemic. And what was the other one she used? I forget now. The recent outbreak with cattle or something like that. So they're declaring themselves the purveyor of the truth when it comes to these, quote, scientific matters. If that doesn't wreak dystopian hell all over it, I don't know what does. That lady is evil. That is right from the mouth of Satan. Don't you dare get caught up in the truth. My young dear, I'll give you everything. Don't you worry. Evil, evil people. And you got people sitting there now. You step back. Let's go back to the halls of Congress, shall we? With good old slippery tongue Mike Johnson. I don't trust those Bible boys, boy. You want to pray, you do it in private. I don't need to see you kneeling down. I'm going to say it right now. It's good. He prayed before the God. You can do your praying on your own. We're here to do business. That's the way I feel about it. Whose prayer? His prayer or my prayer? Who is this guy even? He's going to do the praying for me? I don't. Why? Because he's a House of Representatives chairman or whatever? Get the hell out of here. What is his faith? I don't know. And I don't know at all about it. I'm just saying to you. You say, will you pray with me? I don't know. I don't know how you pray. I don't just go praying with anybody. It's just my feeling about it. You say, will you pray with me? What if you're Muslim? I'm not going to sit down and have a Muslim prayer. I don't do Catholic prayers. I don't have any problem. You want to pray? Go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. But especially for this guy where he's coming out, you know, his nice little tie and his nice little librarian glasses, right? And he's not too imposing. He's got the nice haircut. And he's well-spoken. He gave his impassioned spiel. I'll take personal risk. Let's not get mired down in the truth. Here's the cold, hard truth. As I have told you over and over again, our government, let alone not of the people, for the people, by the people, but completely working against us at this point. Laughing as they lie to our faces with complete impunity. Whether they pull out the wretched, vile, educated in Egypt NPR hack or this fake Bible thumper. You know, I don't want to get too hung up on principles. Well, of course not. I mean, he's just spending, you know, billions of dollars. And let me give you a little practical. I want to try and keep this away from the rhetoric a little bit. I know, too late for that. What do you want me to say? Well, as we dissect this, let's dissect it a second. All right, I'll give you the cold hard facts. $65 billion for Ukraine. Not a damn dollar for our border. A war in Ukraine that's clearly going to be lost. It's just a matter of how many people are going to die in the process. Why are they not working on a peace deal? Who cares less about human life, Russia or Ukraine or the United States? Money for Israel, no throws. But let's go back to the $65 billion for Ukraine. It's more than the entire annual budget of the entire Marine Corps that they're going to piss away and give to Ukraine to get blown up over there. Marine Corps is sitting there with no tanks, no artillery. And they say they want to make this switch to literal regiments. Russia has a new tank coming out that they're producing the living hell out of. Let me tell you something. I actually had this thought the other day. Remember that movie Red Dawn? I started thinking to myself, how hard would it be in this particular juncture to plot an attack on this country and carry it out? I hate to think about it. But it's a real concern. I mean, look at what's happening at the southern border. How would you know? How would our military even be able to respond? They're so screwed up in their thinking what to do. Our own military can't protect the border. There's 30,000 Chinese young males that have come across the border. What is the impact of that? Best case scenario, 30,000 men, Chinese stay, young men. Well, one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to smoke dope and look to live off the dole and do nothing and become a bunch of losers, or they're going to be like the rest of us and want to have families and maybe a little property, which is going to require a job. And who's going to have an advantage in the overall scheme of things? Is it getting these jobs? And I don't know. The damage that's being done to our country at every unmistakable point of this damn thing. I started to say, how do you know these 30,000 males aren't truly Chinese army? That they're speaking Chinese? How would anybody know? Maybe they come up with some off dialect only they can understand. How well concealed would that be? Nice and quiet. I don't know. I really don't know. How would, you know, is Mike Johnson going to be the guy that's going to come up with the battle plan? And let's go that route a second. Let's go back the other way now. Okay, we're going to leave our southern border exposed. We're reducing our military capabilities while we flush money down the toilet in Ukraine. The Israel situation, I think, is a little bit different. Not that I'm in favor of funding it at all, but I think it's a little bit harder to say that it's flushing money down the toilet. I think there's a genuine need there. But why are we the ones that have to dump all this money into Israel? And what are we getting out of it exactly? I don't know that I'm saying we shouldn't help Israel. I know there's people, there's another issue. You want to talk about truths? Try having that conversation with certain people that, based on their very literal Bible interpretation, feel that the modern day land of Israel needs to be defended at the sake of the universe, for God's sake. I say this in that regard. Why don't we just all work on being more faithful, Jews and Christians alike? Let's make that the starting point. And then we can argue about the Holy Land. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about all of it. Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson gives impassioned Ukraine speech as he defies MAGA. This guy is a nerd loser. I saw it coming. I held my judgment and I held my tongue. Why do we never hear a politician get up and give an impassioned speech about America? Why don't we ever give an impassioned speech about protecting America, protecting the American people? No, we're still stuck in the Obama era of beating it down. Oh, it's not who we are. Well, who are we exactly? That we've got veterans rotting on the streets, our cities falling apart, they're importing filth and trash from every corner of the country and bringing them here and dumping them here and giving them the expectation that they're going to have everything that they could ever possibly want and need for free. I'm listening to this speech in New York, right? Mike Johnson's going to give an impassioned speech about Ukraine at the same time that they have these city council hearings going on. This black woman, presumably a migrant, but I don't know, she says we need more help with interpreters because there's so many different nationalities here. Madagascar, Congo, and there's different dialects from Congo. They're not all the same. And I'm listening to all this, and I'm going, wait a minute. whoa. We're being led to believe there's a problem at our southern border. And how do we go from southern border to Congo and Madagascar? And what's going on in Madagascar? I know Congo has problems. Why are we having people coming here from Madagascar? And if there's a refugee problem, is this the way to handle it? None of that is what's going on. None of that is what's happening. It's not the truth. The climate, it's people moving because of climate. No, it's not the truth. None of that's the truth. This is a UN plan. This is some kind of sinister plan. And I honestly don't know where it goes. Mike Johnson's going to give up. This slippery tooth, slimy, fake conservative from Louisiana, right out of the Bible Belt, too. What a disgrace. Isn't he a lawyer? I'm telling you, man. If you're a lawyer listening to this, God forgive me. I love you. But I don't. If somebody tells me they're a lawyer, and I'm automatically like, that tells me I can't trust you. That's going to be pretty much my next reaction, too. You know, I'm a Penn alumni. That tells me I can't trust you. I don't know if I'd go around announcing that to everybody, really. You know, it's like people look at me as a Marine. I get it. We're marked. Oh, I get it. Down here where I'm, oh, yeah, that's why I want to do the NPR sticker. I'm going to be the liberal Marine for a little while and blend in. I'm half horsing around. I don't know if I will or not. It would be funny, wouldn't it? But I kid, you know, they see me, and you should see it, like the sporting event. They look at me and my haircut, and I stand up straight, and I talk like a man, and I man spread, and I'm a big man, just all man. And they hate it. And I'm even proud of it, right? Meanwhile, my daughter's beautiful friend, beautiful family, I got no problem. The guy's wearing his rainbow flip-flops and his rainbow shirt. He's talking like a little girl. And I'm just like, eh, no thanks, dude. I got no time for it. But anyway, they look at me like I'm some kind of nut. I'm like, yeah, I'm looking at you the same way. I don't know what kind of Kool-Aid you've been drinking. Let's not be bogged down with the truth. Let me tell you how important this is that we fund Ukraine. How do you say that with a straight face? He did with the world's security. If we don't do it now, they're going to be in Eastern Europe in no time. Bull. What a bunch of crap. Why don't they negotiate? What's the plan? Forget about the rhetoric. What is the plan? You tell me. And don't tell me what we can't let happen. What is the plan? We must defeat Russia. That ain't happening, my friend. What's plan B? Russia's getting stronger than ever. Their allies are getting stronger than ever. You look at this attack on Israel, and you better wake up and see what's really going on. Whether or not it was successful, who knows whose propaganda is true? I don't know. I can't tell you that there was a single rocket fired at this point. It's hard to tell. Something was fired, I guess. But who knows? Who knows? I do know this, that Iran felt bold enough to carry out an open strike on Israel. Israel softly retaliated. And we don't know how successful or not that was. And I told you, didn't I say this? I gave you the rundown on this. I think I want to say it was last weekend. Was it before I got hurt? I forget now. I think I talked about it anyway. So this is kind of a bit of a checkmate here, right? Because if Israel needs to rely on all these assets to defend against an incoming attack, and that attack was whatever, 300-400 drones. So if Iran is thinking tactically, what I'm seeing is if Israel launches an attack, and maybe they want to lure them in for that whole purpose. Lure them in, use the missiles, start taking out some of those Israeli assets, and then those assets aren't available to protect defensively, and then you launch your 1,000 missiles in. Wah, boom. I don't know. I don't know the capabilities of these things. The word on the street is, and there's some Achilles heel in all this that is keeping the United States at bay. This whole weak leadership Biden thing is only part of the equation. Maybe Trump was a better bluffer. But there's a military weakness. And I think that it is most likely these hypersonic missiles that Russia has. I don't know if China has them. If Russia has them, whether China has them in reality or not, they effectively do. And the same for Iran. And they're saying that these hypersonic missiles cannot be stopped. Is that true? And the United States has yet to be able to develop the hypersonic missiles. The United States, I think, has been focused on the other end, which is the defense, like these directed energy weapons. I think that's the primary purpose of those, is to deflect incoming missiles like hypersonic missiles. It's really crazy when you think about the technology we're talking about, man. Talk about dystopian, for God's sake, with all this. The facial recognition and drone technology, there's some freaky, freaky stuff going on. Can you imagine that a drone comes to your house? And if you don't answer, it comes back with other drones and it makes its way in. I mean, and there's these dystopic videos on this stuff that are describing how it could work in the future. You know, assassinating people with drones. They send out these small drones. I mean, if you think about it, like a little Dillinger on a drone, piece of cake, right? A little two shot. Now put that on 10 drones. You got 20 projectiles. Now you put 100 drones. This would be super small drones, right? A couple of them are designed to smash the window to gain entry, or however that works, or they shoot to blow through the window and gain entry. Then they all go in and go around the building or the property to find the target and acquire it, and boom. They're saying that it's probably available now on some level. I don't know. Might need some kind of remote control. I bet you could do it on some level. Freaky when you think about it. Anyway. Yeah, but they can't protect the border, though. Right? They got 17 ways to kill everybody on the planet, but they can't protect the border. Ukraine is going to need another $65 billion. For what? We have no idea. We're not even told what it's for. What it's for. I make special note, I don't remember hearing a single plea from Ukraine for food or blood or clothing or anything like that. Just more money, more money. What's life like in Ukraine right now? They're probably living better than us. Hard to say. I see pictures coming out of Russia. I saw this comparison. Russian subways compared to American subways. Yeah, I'm not ready to pull up stakes and go live in Russia. I can tell you that. You know, some of these people that are comparing how great it is over in Russia, like, you better go back and look at the Russian history a little bit. And not that America doesn't have some of its own harsh realities, to be sure, but I don't know if I'd be clamoring to go over to Russia necessarily. But it is certain that we're struggling with a lot of things here. And when I hear the slippery tongue politician come up and start so passionately feeding us a line of garbage of why we need to support Ukraine. Hey, he didn't need to do that. I'll leave you with this thought. He could have just put the vote up and shut up instead of feeding this line of crap to us of how necessary this is. It's totally unnecessary. It's a complete waste of time while our own government completely ignores the needs and challenges of our own citizens and our own country. It's despicable. The Republican Party is worthless. God willing, I'll be back very soon. My back's still bothering me. And we do have a show planned for Monday. We'll see what happens. I'm going to just take a loose schedule for right now with everything going on. Enjoy the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, I should say. And I'll see you when I see you. Make it a great day.